Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's Tuesday. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. Reach us at any point at 312-981-7200. Wendy, how's your Shark Week going?
It's going well. And yours?
So far, it's been a very peaceful Shark Week. It always gets a little crazy toward the end, you know, but so far it's been fine.
My kids always watch the Shark Week.
Yeah.
I watch it if it's on. I forget to watch it. Hmm. I'm a busy girl.
I don't just watch Shark Week. I live Shark Week. Like, everything I do all week long has some shark-related thing.
And you have strong jaws.
Right. I like how upset people were. I don't know if you saw the hype on this, but Michael Phelps raced against a shark for Shark Week. But he didn't. It was a computer-generated shark.
Yeah, we watched this last night, Sarah.
Did you watch it?
It was real kind of dumb.
So
hokey.
Has Shark Week jumped the shark then? Is
that yes.
Thank God.
Steve Bertrand,
so
you can go home
that.
Now.
That was beautiful. That was sensational, Steve.
I'm just mad I forgot to wear my White Sox jersey today.
Yeah, because
yeah, they won.
Too.
I don't care about the record. I care about them beating the Cubs.
You haven't been able to wear it in 2 weeks.
I haven't worn it in a couple of years, to be honest with you.
Isn't it amazing? Like, on paper, and baseball announcers will always say, well, this is why you actually play the games. You don't just look at the paper. But you got the Cubs, who have been the hottest team in baseball coming out of the All-Star break, playing the White Sox, who had lost 9 in a row.
I know.
So if you were a betting person, you go, well, I'll put every penny I own on the Cubs. They're going to win. They're going to cream the White Sox. It won't even be close. Mm-mm-mm.
This means more than the World Series to me.
You know, it's funny you
say
that.
Say
a lot
that.
Of people have that. I'd rather win the Crustdown
yep.
Classic than the World Series.
Yep, I'm okay with that because we're not ready yet this year. But darn it, I had it out and ready.
What
my
if,
gray one away.
This is a huge what if. What if at the end of the season the Cubs miss it by a game, and it's one of those games that yesterday the White Sox took it 3-1. So what if that's the game that kept the Cubs? Will you feel like, well, we did what we came to do? We kept the Cubs out of the playoffs, the World Series.
I won't feel anything.
Nothing? You'll be empty inside?
I think if you're a Sox fan, you can celebrate that.
Yeah, because you helped knock down the Giant.
I want to see the Crosstown Classic be the Crosstown Classic at the World Series. That's what I would like. That's not going to happen this year. Maybe ever. But I'm not going to, you know, I just want us to do better, and I like when we beat the Cubs. That's all.
Didn't you think when you were little that at some point that dream would be a reality?
Yep.
You'd see the Cubs and the White Sox squaring off in the World Series. But then as time has gone on, you've probably looked at the trends and go, well, there's times where the Cubs are hot. There's times where the White Sox are hot. But more times than not, neither of them really are. Not real contenders.
Yeah.
You know, the White Sox had their season. The Cubs had their season. But it doesn't always gel that they're hot at the same time.
Kind of like you and me.
Yeah, that's a perfect example.
No, that's terrible. You guys are often hot together.
Thank you, Steve.
It's a fluctuating hotness.
Yeah, right. What else was I going to say? Oh, Steve did a story in the news that caught our attention, and Steve actually flagged it and said, you got to hear this. And this was this couple, this family, really, where everyone in the family has been married for years and years. And I think, Steve, the total was somewhere in over 400 years together.
Oh, the Klinkenbeards?
The Klinkenbeards.
Yes, nearly 450 years.
So it's the mom and the dad. It's Ma Klinkenbeard and Pa Klinkenbeard.
Well, I think Ma and Dad are probably long gone.
Are they gone?
These are the eight siblings. Yeah. And you add them all up, and it comes at nearly 451.
It's a lot of love.
It's a whole lot of love.
A dearly departed Klinkenbeard.
One was
63 years, but she's passed now, so they've stopped adding up. But.
Is there any divorce at all in the family? Does it say?
Have any
of the kids been divorced?
I didn't see that. I'll look a little more closely to try to find the
Mr.
dark
Half
cloud.
Empty? Yeah.
Here's why I ask. There's a method to my madness. There's a reason. There's a reason I ask.
Oh, yeah, the happy one here said divorced after 2 years.
Oh. No. That would be terrible.
Ouch.
What an awful way to end the story. Don't you think a lot of times that divorce is hereditary? Like, don't you think in some families they just kind of go, well, you know, my parents were in a marriage that just didn't seem to work, so they gave up. So I'm in a marriage that doesn't seem to be working, so I'll give up. Don't you think sometimes that's part of the DNA of a family?
I guess, but, you know, every relationship is different. I mean, perhaps you don't take the relationship. I don't know. I don't know why the parents got divorced. I know a lot of people who come from divorced families who will do everything in their power to never recreate that.
Yeah.
I've had no divorce in my family or in-laws.
Is that true?
At all.
Nobody? That's excellent.
None. Just death. The men don't make it.
But that's...
Careful, Jimmy Mack.
I know.
Yeah, no divorce at all.
My dad's parents were divorced when he was pretty young, and then
that was uncommon then too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was nowhere near, of course, what it is today. But they were divorced when he was really young, and then his mom was married a couple times, and three, and then his dad was married twice. And he said because of that, it made him realize divorce shouldn't be an option. He didn't want his kids to go through what he went through as a kid. So sometimes you see that kind of a backlash.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You want to demonstrate a good relationship to your kids. Although, Bill,
yeah,
sometimes you do, and then your kids end up getting divorced.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I've seen that.
Life is difficult.
But, like, watching my parents, like, when I was growing up, there was never a single day that I thought my parents might get a divorce. Like, even if they were arguing about something, I wasn't one of those kids that went, oh, this is the one. Then now they're gonna break up. I just never, ever had a day like that. And I think if you asked my kids that same question, they would tell you the same thing. You know, that Terry and I have, it's never come close. There's never been anything that we've went, oh, we can't get over this.
Everything's getting overable.
Yeah,
except for cheating.
Yeah,
and lying.
That would be a problem.
And stealing. All right, maybe not everything.
Right. And a real high-pitched voice. I mean, there's a couple
things.
Well,
you should have known that going in.
No, she should have known that because me. I'm the one with the high shrill. It's not her. It's me.
I didn't mean you guys. I meant generally speaking.
Like, if I were Terry, every once in a while, I'd look at me and the goofy stuff that I have, and I'd go, what did I do? Like, every once in a while, I would just walk into the toy room and look around and go, What was I thinking? But she doesn't, for some reason, doesn't do that.
Because you have more to offer. If that's all you did do was, I'm going to play with my toys.
Right.
Look at my toys.
Right.
I've got dolls. Oh, they're action figures.
Right.
Then there'd be a problem. But you're very well-rounded, much like Jimmy Mack, which you got him into the whole collecting thing, which I really could just punch you.
You are welcome for that.
I did not want to thank you.
No.
After going to your house and one of your Christmas parties,
yeah,
the next day he went to his mom's house to collect all the action figures that thankfully she saved,
mm-hmm,
from when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, we have a Star Wars room. Why are you smiling?
I'm grinning ear to ear because it means I corrupted somebody and it's been a good day.
But he has other interests and
sure,
is not just, you know, in the Star Wars room playing every day.
Right.
Nor are you. Although you guys are probably in your rooms at least once every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Twice?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, three times, the lady.
What do you do?
Well, that's the toy room is my office. Like, that's where my computer is. That's where I look up stories for the show. And play video games and do all the things that an 11-year-old boy would do.
Talk to the other people in the room.
Right.
But it's so right, funny. I can't speak for you, but I do know you well enough to, because I'll see Jim in there, and if he's dusting and getting his action figures set up, and his is all Star Wars, yours runs the gamut.
Yeah.
It's cute when I walk in and he's holding, like, you know, a particular, like, Princess Leia slave girl.
Right.
Be just looking at it, and then he puts it back.
And I bet, like, to him, that's really normal. But when you see that, you go,
oh, no,
I married this guy.
Of all the characters,
smile.
You picked the Princess Leia slave girl?
Well, that's...
that's the right one
what?
To pick.
Can I ask, does he have that one in his hands a lot?
Maybe. And just in one hand.
They're going to close this down. The FCC is going to close this down.
I think it's cute when I walk in and see it. Perhaps at that one moment, I think of a young Jimmy Mack, and I don't think of husband Jimmy
right.
Mack. But it's cute.
One time, all right, so I have to give you a little background on this. Back in the 1960s, they made this figure called Captain Action. And it was just a guy, but he could turn into Batman, Spider-Man, the Green Hornet, the Lone Ranger. It was everybody.
That's
I mean,
your
there
goal.
Were 14 guys. Yeah, it would be like if I had a dream job, that would be it. All right, so I had all the costumes, like all of them, but I didn't have the figures to put the costumes on. I just kept the costumes in a box, right? And then one day on eBay, this guy was selling just the figures. He had a dozen of them, and he was just selling the figures with no costumes. And I went, well, this is a match made in heaven. I can buy the figures and finally put the costumes on the figures, right?
Action figure mannequins.
Right. Yeah, that's what it came to. So I won it on eBay. It's delivered to the house. I come home from work. There's the box. So I'm sitting in the room in my office, toy room, and all these naked action figures are on the floor, and I'm dressing them. And then the door to the office opens, and it's Terry, and she's about to say something, but she just takes in the moment, and she looks around, and she goes, we will never speak of this. And then just closed the door. That was it.
Well, that would look weird if, you know, they were all naked.
They were.
And you putting outfits on.
Three of them had costumes on, but the rest of them were just laying there without anything on.
Yeah, that.
That seems eerie. Weird. I'm the guy in the middle of it, and it seemed eerie to me.
It reminds me of the young Jeffrey Dahmer trailer right. that I just saw.
Thank you. That's what I was. That's the exact emotion I was trying to bring out.
Actually, it's
worse.
Different.
It's
yeah.
actually worse. All right, we'll take a quick break. There's a lot coming up on today's show, including we have to discuss this. Do you know who T.J. Miller is?
Yes.
All right. He's a comedian and an actor, and he said something yesterday that infuriated me, and I think it'll make you angry, too.
All right.
I know it will. So we'll talk about that later on, and then there's other stuff coming. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
My great niece, Addie, was just at the Shedd Aquarium, and it brought back so many memories of going there as a kid with my mom. She would take us all the school field trips, and I realized it's time for me to go back.
It's way cooler now. They've done amazing.
Yeah.
It was always a great place to visit, but in the last couple of years, they've really upgraded it a lot. Go. I think you'll enjoy it. I was talking about divorce. Steve mentioned in the news a family with a bunch of kids. And together, all the kids have been married over 400 years, which is amazing. You know, I remember because I was saying that I think a lot of times divorce is in everybody's family at this point. I don't know anybody's family
hasn't
that
been
doesn't.
Mine.
Not at all. Nobody
I
on
guess
either
some
side.
Cousins.
They've
yeah.
been divorced,
but like immediate family, no.
When you were looking for a husband,
and I was for quite some time.
Right.
I had a checklist. Job, car, at the same time.
Oh.
Done.
I don't think you're asking a lot there. Did you ever take into account whether or not divorce was prevalent in that guy's family?
No.
Because I used to do that with any time a situation got a little more serious, I would think about that a little bit.
That's not fair. You follow your heart and, you know, you make a commitment and you make it work. Again, there are people that are saying, no divorce in my family, but great-grandpa had a mistress and they had a son. Another person...
So he was not a believer in divorce, but he did take some road trips,
but
obviously.
That's the great-grandpa, and no one else has been divorced in the family.
Oh, interesting.
And
all
then
right.
Mom and dad married 50-plus years. In-laws married 50-plus years. My ex decided it was over for us after 34 years.
Oh.
So, I mean... It's funny that you look at these things, but did anybody ever tell you sometimes you think too much?
I do think too much. There's
I
no
thought
doubt.
I did.
You're... No, there's no doubt. I do think too much, but there were a couple of girls that it got to the stage of being pretty serious, and then I would look at their family and I go, boy, almost everybody in her family has been divorced. I don't know that in that family marriage means as much as I'd want it to mean. Like I knew for a fact that when I got married, it was going to be a marriage for the rest of my life. I just knew it. I wasn't going to settle for anything less.
I think most people really...
I don't think so.
Really?
Do you think... I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people who do, but I think there's other people who go, you know what, we'll get married, and if it works, that's great. But if it doesn't, there's options.
I think that's maybe your second or third marriage that you say that, but I'm hoping when you get married
first one,
for your hopefully only time, you say,
this is it. This is for real.
Good or bad. Mostly bad in my case. For me. I
for
mean,
you.
I'm hard to live with.
We were at a wedding one time where people were taking bets on how long the wedding would last, and the answer was less than a year. They got divorced about 10 months in. But everyone at the wedding was walking around. It was sick.
Boy, they invited the wrong people, I got to tell you.
It was a huge wedding, and it was a beautiful wedding. But there were undercurrents. Like, everywhere you went, people would go, what do you think, a year, 2 years, three maybe at the outset? Three? What?
That hurts my heart that the guests are judging the...
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
That really, you're supposed to, like, join in the
enjoy
celebration of love and not make side bets.
But you know what? It was such a weird mismatch of everything. Like, they... I don't know. You could just tell this was not meant to be.
Did anybody tell them?
Oh yeah, people. We were friends of the bride, and she said, "Boy, everywhere I go, people are like, you sure you want to do this? Are you positive you want to do this? Because you can still get out of this." You know, as they're walking down the aisle, you can still get out of this. Look, there's a side aisle. You can take the side aisle instead of going straight.
What if somebody said that to you as you were getting married?
It would kill me.
I dated a girl who told me, and this was, I think, on our first date, that she'd been divorced. And my father was walking me down the aisle, and I said to him, I'm making a terrible mistake. And he said, I know.
Ah.
And then they kept going.
How painful is that?
See, but what do you do in that instance?
I paid the bill and went home.
No, not you. But she's walking down the aisle saying that to her dad as he's walking her down. I mean, at some point, don't you just go, I know I've got everybody gathered here, but you know what? I'm not feeling it.
That's what they, if this was like One Life to Live, that's exactly what they would do. But in real life, but I'm serious, like if she, so she's walking down the aisle and she knows it and her dad knows it, you have that, you can still stop it. It hasn't taken place yet, but what a terrible bad situation. First inning to that baseball game. Because you just go, there's no way this can work.
That's the leadoff, man.
Right, right.
But I don't know who, you know, I'd be more, I mean, the woman should not have gone through with it. But
she shouldn't.
The dad...
shouldn't have said that to her.
No, I give him credit. I really do.
They didn't do anything about it, and then it's like doomed.
But you know what? That was his way of saying, it's not too late. You know it, and I know it.
As he kept walking her down the aisle. Mm. He should have told her that a week before. You know, if he really knew it, he should have said, honey, listen, this is your life. You do what you want, but I got a pretty bad feeling about this, Chewy.
I know, just based on what Steve just said, I'm sure at some point, it probably wasn't the first time that that conversation came up, but I think that was her dad's way of saying, we both know this is not in our best interest. If you want to stop, say the word. I'll stop walking you. We can stop. We can still get out of this.
Puts a lot of pressure on her.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
You're totally hearing the story differently than I did, and because I heard it as they just kept going. You know, I know.
As if to say, we've paid for the hall, we might as well finish this.
Well, there's no turning back now kind of thing.
And there isn't. I mean, I guess there is, but think about it, you guys. You've put everything into this wedding. You've invited people. People have purchased gifts. They're all there to celebrate your day. It would be pretty weird to have your dad walk you down and then go, can I just make a quick little announcement before the groom comes, you know, before we join in hands? I know he's already down here with the best man, but you know what? Let's call it a day.
I swear to you, if it was one of my daughters, if I was in that same situation, and Steve, you have a daughter, let's say you're walking her down, and she says those words to you, wouldn't you stop your pace and go, you don't have to do this. If you don't want to do this, we don't have to do this.
It would be such a hard thing, but I think, I hope so. I hope I would stop cold and turn around and say, let's get out of this building and talk it out through.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I hope no one is in this position because...
I know.
I mean, really, I guess, Steve, you could go, hey, let's go to the back of the church and talk for a second here.
Yeah. Just give us a minute. You call a TV timeout. You go, we just need a minute.
Keep playing music.
Right.
Give me a bouncy CD.
Play Is She Really Going Out With Him by Joe Jackson. Just play that.
Oh, my God. What a terrible position to be in.
It'd be awful. But... better that awkward moment than an awkward 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years.
Oh, God. Right? Just please, please be careful before you get married and take it seriously.
Right.
Oh, I'm getting agita thinking about everybody else and all these situations that haven't even happened.
They're just hypothetical.
Oh, right. I don't like it.
We'll take a quick break. News is next and then more show. It's Shark Week. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
My pierogi of love.
You've altered the lyrics to this classic.
Oya, nishka, loka, yo.
I don't think those are the words.
More than you'll ever know.
You should teach Polish at a community college somewhere.
All right. Who is on the line with us right now? This is Tom Dabberton.
Tom, are you there? How are you?
You're not going to hang up after my Bobby Vinton impersonation?
No, actually, I thought you did a great job. I thought that was that. I think those are the original words, actually. But we didn't ask Bobby to play at Pierogi Fest, so he took out the pierogi he got mentioned. But I think those were the original words.
Now, Tom Dabberton, chairman and co-founder of Pierogi Fest, some of the most fun times you will have a lot closer to the city than you think, right? Only 17 miles away from Chicago?
17 miles away, I actually ride my bicycle from Whiting, from my home to Buckingham Fountain is 18.18 miles. So even if you ride a bicycle, it's less than 20.
How long does that trip take you?
The fastest I've ever done it actually is just under an hour. Usually it takes me about an hour and 10.
Wow. And you'll shuttle people from the fest to, back and forth to the Buckingham Fountain?
On my back, yeah.
Tom, you're the best.
I will carry people on my bicycle and bring them back and forth. Absolutely. Oh. Actually, I should mention, we do have a bicycle valet lot that we get well over 1,000 bicycles a day in. So if you want to ride your bike out to Pierogi Fest, feel free to do so, because we've got you covered.
I would like to ride on a bicycle built for two with Mr. Pierogi, if you can arrange that.
We could do that. You know what? We could do that in the parade. How's that? Because the parade is the most bizarre thing of a very bizarre festival. So we'll put you on a bicycle built for two with Mr. Pierogi. How's that?
And when is the parade? Because that is a really fun time.
The parade is 7 o'clock this Friday. It runs down 119th Street, basically from Calumet Avenue to New York Avenue, right through the heart of downtown Whiting, right through the festival, and the parade draws over 100,000 people, so get there early.
100,000?
Pierogies are awesome.
Something right. That's great.
Yeah, it's an amazing event. As chairman, I always wear my official outfit, which is a coconut bra and a grass skirt.
Nice. And hot.
I'm going to be 57 this weekend. Actually, the joke is that Pierogi Fest is a way that I get to celebrate my birthday with about 300,000 of my close friends. So.
Yes. And it's pierogi, by the way.
That's the correct pronunciation.
Pierogi, yes. Yeah. Well, we also have the pierogi stations. Now, the pierogi stations, when you go to most festivals, you know, you're relegated to using porta potties, right? We actually rent out just about every portable bathroom trailer in the Chicago area. So we actually have air conditioned running water bathroom trailers.
Ritzy.
Out at Pierogi Fest.
That's
yeah.
Excellent.
We want you to enjoy the royal flush.
All right, if you go to their website at pierogifest.net, you can get all the details you want about Pierogi Fest. It kicks off with the parade on Saturday, 7 p.m., runs all weekend.
Friday.
I had Friday written down, and I said Saturday for some reason. Friday at 7. And it says, not only are we having our main beer garden this year, but we're also adding the Wine-O-Cheese Garden, and we'd like to know what that is.
Well, the Wine-O-Cheese Garden, actually, and here's the question. It says right on the sign, is it Wine-O-Cheese? Is it Wine-O-Cheese?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it wine cheese with an O just stuck in the middle? You figure it out, but go in and have fun. We're adding a wine and cheese garden. It's going to serve a number of wines from the Midwest, along with a couple of meads and a few craft beers. It's going to be a little bit more relaxing than our beer garden, which, according to Miller Brewing and Indiana Beverage, has become one of the largest beer gardens in the state of Indiana. I think we're number two or number three in the state now. So that beer garden has gotten so massive that we decided to create a second area for people to imbibe and enjoy their visit to Pierogi Fest and have something nice to drink.
Since you brought up rankings, Tom, there are other Pierogi Fests across the nation. Are they as big or bigger or smaller than the one you have in Whiting?
No, they are not. And actually, the number of Pierogi Fests, whenever you see one, let me know, because we actually have incontestable trademark
really?
Rights to the term Pierogi Fest. Yeah.
So the others are unsanctioned.
The others are unsanctioned. Some of them do have licensure. I know there's a small one up a church in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
There's another in near Cleveland, and they actually have our permission to use the Pierogi Fest trademark. But we own the Pierogi Fest trademark we have since 2006, and we also own the rights to Mr. Pierogi. So, We've grown tremendously. It is a huge festival. It's a huge undertaking. It's one of the largest food festivals in the Midwest, with more than 80 food booths and 6 entertainment stages, this wacky, zany parade. And the whole festival is kind of wacky and nutty, and that's the way we like it. So we've grown, and a few years ago we came up with the idea that we should trademark it, and we did.
Good. And you were in on the planning stages of the very first Pierogi Fest, correct?
Yes, I was. Actually, Wendy, the way things started is Marty Dybel, myself, and Darlene Beerling. Darlene, unfortunately, has passed away. The three of us got together, and it was Marty's idea to do an ethnic festival, to have a lighthearted view at ethnic customs, and also to celebrate the ethnic heritage that everyone enjoys. And we went through a list of probably 100 different foods, and when we got to pierogi, Marty said, what about pierogi? And I made the comment that I really didn't like pierogies. And Darlene Beerling said, that's good enough for me. We're calling it pierogi sauce. So.
And, you know, I love a good pierogi, and there are lots of different kinds there. But if you're not into them, there are various other food booths out there as well. It really is an awesome weekend to spend in Whiting.
Yeah, we have about 1,400 items on the food menu this year. So if you don't like pierogies, there's just about every ethnic food you can imagine. There's Italian, there's Mexican, there's Cajun, there's all kinds of foods. There's all kinds of delicacies. I should mention there are some college students this year that are doing a booth called Deep Fried Desserts, and it says, come get deep fried with us. And they're doing the deep fried Oreos and deep fried Milky Way bars and Snickers bars, and they're really great. And I have to put in a plug because my son is one of those college students trying to help pay for college, so we'll put in a plug for him.
Outstanding.
All right, before we let you go, what number of Pierogi Fest is this? It's been going on since when?
This is 23. It's 23 for the festival. It's 24 for the parade. You're probably not surprised, but as madcap and as crazy as Pierogi Fest is, the parade actually is a year older. And people always ask, what was the inspiration of the parade? And all you have to do is watch the movie Animal House. You get a pretty good idea.
It is a great time. If you'd like to find out more information, it's not that far away. You can ride your bike to it. Pierogifest.net. Tom Dabberton. Am I saying that right?
Dabberton. Yes.
Dabberton. Right. Chairman and co-founder of the Pierogi Fest. How do you say good luck or so long in Polish?
Oh.
Good. I'm glad you don't know either. Oya, Mieszka Loka, ya, ya.
Those are not the words, Wendy. Those are not the words.
I think you just said it.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much, and have another great year. Pierogifest.net. Thank you, Tom.
And thank you, and thanks to WGN Radio for being a partner with us.
Absolutely. We're proud. Thanks, Tom. Have a great weekend out there.
Thank you.
All right, a quick break, and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's a Tech Tuesday. Bridget Carey is on the line with us, senior editor at CNET. Bridget, how are you?
Hey, doing good. How are you?
I want to talk about the Roomba. I've heard about this vacuum that pretty much is like a little mini vacuuming robot. It goes around your house. You can also get one that washes your floors. Does it really work?
It's adorable. Does it work? Yeah, I mean, we have a team that actually puts them to the test in terms of like putting hair and Cheerios and all sorts of things on the floor and really compares them. There's also one called the Nido. It's less known, but at the same time, it's actually better sometimes and it's a little less expensive. But yeah, these robots work in terms of just if you're someone who wants to keep your floors, you know, clean, you don't want to vacuum all the time, you might have to do some of your own detail work. But everyone's talking about the Roomba today because of some kind of creepy news that came out about them.
What is the creepy news?
I feel like in tech everything gets creepy when we talk about data.
Yeah.
People don't realize that what the Roomba does is that it actually uses lasers to kind of scan and learn your floor, so it's not ramming into your furniture all the time and making marks. But because it's learning the map layout of your floor, the company Roomba says, you know what, we want to sell that data, that like layout of your floor, to companies that make smart home devices like Amazon and its Echo or Apple and its smart speaker or Google. We want to sell, you know, your floor map essentially so that they can make their smart devices even more efficient to know if, I don't know, someone's walking in a certain room or not, so it kind of can know the layout of your home. You put that together, people go, wait, you actually know what my house layout is? You're going to sell my information? And so, you know, people kind of forget how much information tech companies have, and they go, hey, we'll ask for permission first. But what you would probably get is some pop-up to say, can our mapping data, you know, be shared with, you know, or be sent over? And you kind of go, yeah, but you're not really thinking through, like, that maybe your mapping data is being sent to, like, a whole other company that you didn't even realize was tied into your Roomba.
What's the worst-case scenario, though? What could they do with this information?
All right, want to get dark?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right, let's get dark. Worst case scenario is that they're not just selling it to companies you trust like Google. They're selling it to any third party who wants to be a startup. And that third party wannabe smart home isn't so, I don't know, good with their security.
Yeah.
And now the layout of your home is in the wrong hands. And they also can tell when you're home, when you're not home because of your scheduled cleanings. So, you know, the more detail you leak out there, the easier it is to map the picture of your life and when you're not home and when to break in, exactly, you know, what, you know, where to get your most valuable stuff, maybe. You know, I can get pretty dark if someone's really after your stuff. I mean, people might roll their eyes listening to this going, okay, who is really going to look for the blueprint of my house when they could just, you know, break a window in,
right,
and get it? It's true. You know, there's more efficient ways to steal your TV than trying to hack a Roomba.
Right.
But it once again just kind of eats away at the feeling that, you know, who cares about who has what on us. This actually kind of relates to another story I wanted to talk to you guys about. I don't know if you heard about this in the news, how a Wisconsin company offered their employees the ability to have RFID chips put under their skin.
I heard about this.
Yeah, they were kind of
Wendy has a chip on her shoulder. Did you know that, Bridget?
Yeah, but that's easier to remove. All right. What, first of all, RFID. Just go. I saw this, but I'm confused about all of it. What is that?
It's just a technology that can save certain bits of information, like your payment. So you want to pay really quick at the vending machine at work. Just tap your finger with the chip inside, and suddenly, you know, the chip whatever just kind of has your payment information. Or you need to get into a door instead of carrying your card key to get access to the front of your office. Maybe that RFID chip has that in there. So RFID chips are in a lot of things. They're even in those Disney bands that they now use for their tickets to Florida. You know, so it has information stored on it. And these employees were giddy and they jumped at the chance. Most of them all volunteered and said, yes, we want it. It was voluntary, you know, but still they were jumping at the chance to be a part of the future. They even said in some of the quotes from the New York Times, they said, you know, I think people are going to not care so much. It's not going to seem as creepy in the future. I want to be a part of this movement. It'll be easy, you know. What people aren't thinking about, though, is that when you start allowing something like this, you don't know what that data is going to be used for later. So,
what if,
like,
you take a sick day and you're at the Cubs game? I mean,
they,
you know,
look it up.
I don't know. Can it?
Yeah, in this case, the company goes, "We're not tracking your location with GPS, but who's to say that whatever's, like, are you going to know exactly what's in that chip so that later on that they couldn't expand the kind of abilities it has?" So these are things to think about when you start hearing about this. Sure, maybe they're totally legit in this one example and they only are able to do, like, a card key and your payment information. But, you know, who's to say that can't be used, you know, in a wider scope later, and they can tell how long you're in the bathroom and, you know, Like there are other ways to track you. Your phone has a lot of information. You carry that everywhere. You know, there are, you know, a company can make you download an app on your phone that tracks you. You know, I don't mean to be kind of, you know, dismissive of everything here, but if you start feeling okay about, you know, chips, of course you don't care about your Roomba selling your information.
Right.
And we're eating away at that feeling of, like, you know, does our privacy matter? Everyone's got it on us anyways, you know. So I just feel like you need to still have these conversations. Still ask the companies to prove why they're secure, you know. Don't take everything for granted.
Bridget, I know how much you love Disney. I met this woman who's involved in the tech world, and they helped develop the FastPass at Disney. And she said one of the reasons behind the FastPass wasn't so much to get people on rides faster and more efficiently, but it was because they wanted to be able to track if kids were missing inside the park. They knew that kid would have a fast pass on them, and they could find that kid in a matter of seconds. How about that?
You don't think about that extra thing. Yeah. I mean, they're able – that makes a lot of sense, and I never thought about the missing part.
Yeah.
They are able to tell when you're – they have certain restaurants where they can tell where you're seated when you order your food, so the waiter knows where to deliver your food.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they have those sensors in other places. You think they only have it in the restaurant. You know, you're kidding yourself, right?
Right.
They can tell, they can kind of track, all right, where are the crowds going? Should we put something in this area? Because, you know, in the beginning of the day, everyone's going in this section. So it's all for planning purposes, too. And And yet, you know, we happily pay our tickets and go because we want to see Mickey.
We used to, there's a food chain here, Jewel Foods, and they used to have these things called Jewel Preferred Cards. And my brother told me how he read about how Jewel uses it to track your journey throughout each store. Like, they know where you go first, where you go next, where you go next. So they can make, you know, better presentations on end caps or put more prevalent foods in certain areas of the store. I never even thought about that. I thought, again, it's just to save you 50 cents on toothpaste, but they were using it for marketing purposes.
Your apps are doing that, too. I mean, I get alerts the other day. The CVS Pharmacy app was using my location in the background, and Apple alerted me. I'm like, yeah, why? I'm not even, like, why would I need this in the background? And it said, to be able to know, like, service you better when you're in the store. I'm like, it's a freaking pharmacy. I'm just going to get some paper towels and, you know, whatever. Like, I don't need to be serviced better what aisle I'm going in. But everyone's looking to get more data to, you know, be more efficient with selling you stuff. Yeah.
All right. All of a sudden, Bill Leff is looking like a genius.
I am a genius.
He doesn't have any apps because he doesn't know how to use his stupid Windows phone. But
I'll
looking
live longer because of it.
I guess. And it's radio frequency ID. That's what RFID is. And another thing that the Simpsons has predicted, like Donald Trump being president, the Rolling Stones still performing in old age, and little Maggie who goes, you know, the chip is red.
Scanner.
Yeah, see? Yeah. It's all coming true, Bridget.
Yep.
Bridget, thanks so much. A lot of crazy stuff in the world of tech. It's Bridget Carey, everybody, from CNET. Go to CNET.com. All the information is there. Thanks, Bridget. Have a good week.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
All right,
thanks.
We'll take a quick break. And then something that an actor slash comic said that I find outrageous. I will share that with you after the news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks very much.
This is like Jeopardy music.
This
isn't
is
it?
Very similar to the thinking music
no,
on Jeopardy.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
It is. It is very much like
I don't
it.
Don't think so.
Dun,
they're pondering
dun,
it.
Dun,
yeah, I don't
dun,
hear it, Kevin.
I think dun, I'm going to write dun. Down Magna Carta.
We got to say what part, is.
But what is Magna Carta? Not that part with the moaning. You never hear Trebek moaning.
Oh, I do.
You're lucky. All right.
Trebek.
ask your mother, Trebek. She might know better.
The rapist instead of therapist.
T.J. Miller is an actor and a comedian. And
what would I know him from?
Mostly Silicon Valley or the movie Deadpool. He's been in a bunch of movies. He's one of the voices in the new Emoji movie.
First of all, I can't believe there's an Emoji movie.
Oh, if it's half as good as Shakespeare's play. I don't know what they were thinking when they made the Emoji movie.
I know who this guy is. He's got crazy eyes.
He's got crazy eyes. He's got crazy hair. He's got crazy ideas. I'll tell you what he just said that made me very angry. Now, I've known of his existence for the last 3 or 4 years. I started hearing him on satellite, on Sirius Satellite. They've got a bunch of comedy channels, and he's on one or two of them a lot. And I got to be honest, he's a pretty good comic. And I'll be even more honest, he's a pretty good actor. He was in Deadpool. I thought he was he did a nice job in it. I've never seen Silicon Valley, which he just left, by the way. He just retired from Silicon Valley. But every once in a while, he'll show up on a talk show, and he seems to be incredibly in love with himself. Like, he's very very proud of himself, often.
So big ego.
Huge ego. I will also say this. I know some people who have worked with him, and their stories are not pleasant about how difficult he is to work with because he just thinks he's the center of the universe.
The ego ruins a person. I'm sorry. We were talking about this yesterday, that the people who are more successful, most people don't say a lot of bad things about him, but it's the people that are on that C or D list that are divas.
There's a guy who made a documentary about the history of Chicago comedy. He's been working on this movie for 3 years now. And he told me, because he videotaped me and asked me some questions, so I'm going to be on it. And he's been working on it, like I said, for almost 3 years. So he said he's interviewed like 130 comics from the last 25 or 30 years. And I said, was everybody nice to you? And he goes, everybody but one guy. And I go, who was the guy? So T.J. Miller started doing stand-up here in Chicago. And he goes, T.J. Miller was impossible. I go, why? He goes, I flew all the way out to California. He goes, we had set up a date. And then he kept changing it and changing it. And he goes, I flew out just to interview him. So I did the interview with him. So we do 25 or 30 minutes. And then at the end, he goes, oh, by the way, I need to see my footage before I okay it. And he goes, no, you signed a waiver. He goes, well, that's not the way I do things. He goes, I need to see my footage. I want to see the fit before I agree to be in it. I have to see it before.
I almost kind of agree with him on that one.
But once you sign,
I guess he should have brought that up up front.
Right. So he goes, if you use anything I'm not happy with, I'm going to make this very difficult on you. And this was
after. So did he just drop him then?
Yeah, he's not going to use him in the video.
Smart move.
Yeah, I know. All right, so what did T.J. Miller say that I found so upsetting? Here's what he said in a nutshell. He said, and he's not the first guy to say this, but I'm going to try my best to prove him wrong. He said that women are not as funny as men are. And he went into greater detail. Now, this is an argument that's been going on for a long time. Jerry Lewis has said this. Richard Roper has written about this in the newspaper, that for reasons he doesn't understand, women just don't make him laugh the way guys make him laugh.
Richard Roper doesn't make me laugh.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's just, I didn't realize he was all into that, too.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes Jerry Lewis says stuff and people go, he's just being Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis, was he ever funny? That's what I have to say to him.
Yeah, he was.
I'm not a fan.
It's not for everybody, you know, but he isn't. French people love him.
They love him. Oh, that's German people who like Hasselhoff.
Germans love David Hasselhoff, the French
love
Jerry
Lewis. Who loves us,
Lewis.
Bill?
Informed Americans. That's who loves us. So here's what I was thinking as I read this, and I'll read you some of his proof of this, that women are not as funny as men.
He has an argument to back this up.
He has an argument
Can't
to back
wait.
This up. Here's what I was thinking as I'm reading this. My grandmother was a very funny woman. My mother was a funny woman. I married a funny woman. I work with a funny woman. I have two daughters who are very funny. When I was doing stand-up, there were dozens of girls I worked with over the years that were hysterically funny. I have admired hundreds of women that are funny. To say this is idiotic.
It is stupid.
Isn't it?
Especially when he's got a movie coming out.
Right, right. All right. Here's
I
want to
hear
says.
His arguments.
In a new interview with Vulture, the emoji movie star, T.J. Miller, said fairly blatantly that women are not as funny as men. Here's what he says. They're taught to express their sense of humor during their formative years.
They're taught to...
It says they're taught to suppress their sense of humor during their formative years. Do you think that's true?
No.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true at all.
Who's teaching them? Because if a parent is teaching them to suppress their sense of humor,
right.
You're doing them a disservice.
I so agree with that. I also think that when he says this, this says to, if you're a girl who admires his comedy, you go, well, T.J. Miller says that I guess I'm not as funny as men. Now, if you look at, remember when they put out that list of the top 100 comics of all time, there weren't that many women on it, right? And here's my justification for that. There were years and years and years and years where I think the ratio was probably 25 or 30 men to every woman. So they're trying their best to make that a more even ratio. But look at a show. The best comedy show in our lifetime is Saturday Night Live. Couldn't you make an easy argument that over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years, there have been better cast members who were women than men?
Yes.
I think the women have been better over the last 15
There's
years.
There's less of
men.
Them.
Right, but they're better.
But they're better.
If you look at Tina Fey, if you look at Amy Poehler, if you look at Kristen Wiig, if you look at Kate McKinnon, and that list goes on and on and on, I think they've been far better
Gilda
than
the, Radner,
Gilda
throw
Radner
her into the mix.
From the beginning, yeah, without a doubt. So I think what he's doing is awful. I mean, I know it's just his opinion.
It's stupid, though. It's stupid
it's
to say
ill-informed.
This. Even if you really believe it, why would you say that out loud somewhere? And, you know, I know I'm not giving anything away, but I'm in love with this Showtime special, I'm Dying Up Here, which concentrates on the early years of stand-up comedy in the 70s in L.A.
Right.
And not very many women. And the women who are part of this are have to prove their, I'm trying to be careful not to give things away, but they have to prove themselves harder.
Right.
The majority of them are men. That's just how it was.
I didn't do comedy in the 70s. I did it later on, but I would work with a woman, I would say a sixth or an eighth of the time as men, and they did. They had to work much, much harder to get where they were. It was almost impossible. I did stand up for 10 years, and in 10 years, I think a woman headlined a show that I was a part of maybe 8 or 10 times.
That's different now, though.
It's way different now. It's way different now.
I mean, that's the bottom line. There weren't as many female comics back then.
Right. Right.
And, you know, the whole theme of the I'm Dying Up Here is at this particular club, they're trying to get on the main stage and get out of the cellar, which is, yeah. you know, the basement, basically. And sometimes, I can't give any more away because I don't know who's watching
it. The Comedy Store in Los Angeles had three showrooms in their building, and one of them was just for women comics. Like, as idiotic as this sounds, hardly any women were allowed on the main stage at the Comedy Store in the 1970s and 80s, and maybe into the early 90s. They had to have a special room because they didn't think that the audience was ready to watch a show with funny women. And that was, it's, we're not talking like 100 years ago. This was in the 70s, yeah. 80s, and into the early 90s.
And there are female comics, one in particular, and I'm Dying Up Here, who's trying to get to the main floor. And Goldie, who runs the club, is saying, you're not ready yet. But then, lo and behold, they put together, like, Girls Are Funny Too, a show that yeah. she's part of.
Yeah.
And people are giving her a lot of crap going, why don't you just hold out until you can be with everyone else? And it's like, because it's going to take me forever.
Right. That's true.
I know.
It's awful. All right, a quick break and then more discussion on this. Is this guy right? Is T.J. Miller right? He says women aren't as funny as men. Huh? 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Give us a text. We'll get to your calls and texts in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. T.J. Miller is an actor and a comedian, and he says flat out women aren't as funny as men. They're taught to suppress their sense of humor during their formative years. He then gets a little more in detail, and we'll try our best to get you those words. But I disagree vehemently. I hope you do, too. 312-981-7200. Carol Burnett, Lucille Ball, Mary Tyler Moore, to the comics of today. I can mention 150 women that I think are funnier than T.J. Miller accidentally.
Catherine O'Hara, one of the funniest people ever.
So funny.
Ever.
Andrea Martin, too.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Good.
What are your thoughts on this?
I think that, I mean, all people are funny. I don't think that it's that big of a deal. I mean, the comments are a big deal, but I don't think people should make such a big deal about comments like that. Like, everyone's funny. People are funny.
It has nothing to do with your sex, with your religion, with your color. You're funny or you're not funny, or you're somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, totally agree.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. I was telling you off the air, I really loved Amy Schumer when she came out. I thought, I love a girl who can be bawdy and dirty and really funny. And then, in my opinion, it got to the point where it was just dirty and not funny. And I don't like Family Guy. I know I'm one of the few people who doesn't.
Yeah.
To me, that's not funny. It's just dirty and shocking. Like, if it's dirty and shocking, but there's yeah. a killer payoff, I'm fine
then
with it.
It's worth it. Watch, if you get a chance, on CNN, they've been doing this thing. They started it last year, The History of Comedy,
yeah.
and they're a couple episodes in on the second season, and they explore topics just like that. It's interesting to see how everything has changed over the years. You know, shock comedy. The newest episode is about shock comedy.
I got to see that.
And our friend Gilbert Gottfried is featured prominently because they talk about how on September 11th and the week and 10 days after it, everybody just walked around going, we don't know what the rules are anymore. What can we laugh? What can we laugh at? And Gilbert Gottfried was doing this roast on Comedy Central of Hugh Hefner. And, you know, he did a lot of jokes about 9/11 and the room went nuts. You know, they loved it. And all the comics were saying it was such a brave thing to do.
It was because it was very soon.
Yeah.
Someone has texted in, I think women who swear or say things that are crude, it's not seen as funny, but a guy passes wind and that's hysterical.
Oh.
There is kind of a double standard in that respect. Like, you know, do women pass gas too? Really? Guys don't like to think about that.
I'm not, we've discussed this on the show. I don't like the Three Stooges. I know it's un-American to say that, but I don't understand the Three Stooges at all. But I always used to wonder if the Three Stooges were women, would there be anybody
no.
that would buy into that at all?
No, because we'd be smarter than that.
Way smarter
we'd
than that.
We'd figure out, you know, not to get poked in the double finger eye holes.
Immediately.
Yes.
I know.
That's a good point. Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
Fine. What do you make of this?
So I agree 100% that the argument is nuts, and you hit it right on the head as I was on hold. If you give me Catherine here and Andrew Martin SCTV DVDs, I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
But don't you think there's maybe some sort of boys growing up versus girls growing up, and we're just different. Like my wife, for instance, she loves when I do get her to watch comedy, she loves it. But I got to twist her arm to go watch the comedy. She
really
wants to see something else. So don't you think there's like maybe some sort of barrier for women to get into comedy or get hooked on it? Whereas at a young age, you mentioned Three Stooges. Okay, you know, not your bag, but I was in the Marx Brothers, and
yeah.
Maybe there's just some sort of something else there that we don't know about.
But maybe, Carrie, that plays into if you're a young girl growing up 15 or 20 or 30 years ago, there weren't the role models. They were few and far between.
Right.
We mentioned but so now a girl coming up has a bunch of different options of girls, and they can watch and go, oh, that is a viable option for a career.
Yeah, good point. Yep.
And yeah, I watched all those same shows, too. I mean, my sister was into the Marx Brothers, so I started watching them. We've talked about SCTV, SNL. I've watched it all the time. I love comedy. I'd rather sit and waste my time with a half-hour sitcom or stand-up than sometimes drama.
Right.
So it does. Yeah. It's a matter of taste, I guess. But I get what you're saying, Carrie.
Yeah, maybe it was a learning curve, the lack of role models or something, and now it takes a while to catch up.
Yeah, I hope so.
In a bad way, you know.
Yep. Well, thanks, Carrie.
Appreciate it. And Angela has an interesting thing to share. Hi, Angela.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
What do you think, Angela?
Here's what I think. I think, unfortunately, it's twofold. One, it depends on how old you are, because people who are a little bit older see these young girls sometimes, young women, comedians, and when they start going down dirty lane, they can't handle it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right.
And I do think this. I think until the end of time, women are always, always going to be held up to a different standard than men, because men can say the same joke and be filthy, and it's funny because it's a guy.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Look at when women swear. People go, you kiss your kid with that mouth. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So unfortunately, I think this guy, and I have no clue who he is. I think he's right. And I also think it depends on who you are. But women will never, ever, ever, ever get away with what men can get away with. The end.
Yeah. I guess there's something to that, I guess. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it, Angela.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I want to share this text with you, Bill, because I want to see your face get all contorted.
All right.
This is from 312. I don't feel women are as funny as men. Maybe it's just because I don't understand a woman's perspective. There have been a few women that have made me laugh, but they don't come to mind right now.
I don't know how that's possible, but I don't know how that's possible for him, for TJ Miller, because he makes his living doing stand-up comedy and acting. How is he not around women that he easily recognizes as being as funny, if not funnier? Do you know, there's a comic named Nick DiPaolo. Do you know who he is?
I've heard of him.
Does very politically incorrect comedy. He's really funny. He's a very, very good comic. He really is. I had him on at another station, and at the very beginning of the show, I said, you're quoted as saying, I don't find women funny. I don't like when women open for me because it brings the show down. I go, how can you say that? And he goes, they don't make me laugh. Women just don't make me laugh. And then I spent the next half hour mentioning women, and he goes, all right, I'll admit it. She's pretty. Yeah, that's pretty funny. She's pretty good. So I guess there's part of guys just want to say that, but it's such an easy argument to tear apart.
And I mean, are there people? I mean, can't women be as great of actors as men?
Absolutely.
Why can't they be
God,
funny?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense, right?
I think this is really dumb of him. But you mentioned that he does have a bit of an ego, so
huge ego.
So this plays right into it. Like, you know, if he thinks his comedy's the best, he's a guy,
right? Right.
You know, women can't hold a candle to me.
Yeah,
they'd like to.
I would like to see a woman hold a candle to him. All right, we must take a break. We've got news coming up in a little bit, and then there's more show after that. So stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. The important thing to know about sharks, Wendy, is anytime a shark approaches you, you will hear this music.
I wish it was so easy. I'm scared.
It does
make me panic hearing about it. What is going on in Chicago is exciting to me because we have, of course, the solar eclipse is coming up on August 21st.
Yes.
So we have the Adler Planetarium here that's going to do some things for that. And Shark Week is happening on Discovery. And we have got someone from the Shed Aquarium in with us today. This is Alex Rose. How are you, Alex?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Marine biologist, underwater photographer, editor of two ocean magazines. What else do we need to know about? I feel like we need the dating game music.
No, let's not do that. No. Yeah, pretty much everything ocean keeps me busy. So.
And so did you have an aquarium? Did you win a little goldfish at your fun fair at school? Is that what started you out on
this? That's not too far from the truth. I actually have spent a lot of time at Chet Aquarium since I was a kid, just being from Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on a coast, but it's not really an ocean coast. So, you know, you need to find options. And Chicago has one of the best aquariums in the world. So
we were talking about how the Chet Aquarium has improved. It was always good when we were a kid. Yeah. You took a field trip or two there. But the Chet Aquarium now is a completely different monster from what it used to
be. It's incredible. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been called the world's aquarium always.
Yeah.
And it's been around since, you know, the 30s, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, they've really added so much. And the staff there is fabulous. And we have the best animal care professionals anywhere. So.
And how are we celebrating Shark Week here in Chicago?
Well, I think a lot of people are just watching Shark Week. And it
how
did just
it?
Start last night. Old
Happy
Sunday
Shark
night.
Week,
yep.
Alex,
yep. Thank you.
You and
Happy
your family.
Shark Week. Thanks.
Thank you.
Wear your teeth. No.
Can I ask Michael Phelps? He swam against a shark, kind of
yeah,
a shark,
right.
An animated
yeah.
shark.
Yeah.
And I'm playing ping pong with a squirrel later. If you want to come by and watch that.
Well, is it digitally done or are
yeah.
you actually
no,
doing
it's
it?
No, it's too
okay,
dangerous
well,
to play with a real
perfect.
Squirrel.
Is it Twiggy the water skiing
yeah.
squirrel?
Yeah, we're squaring off.
Very dangerous stuff.
Is this a good way to start out Shark Week? Because people are angry that it wasn't a real shark.
I know. Well, I don't think anyone really knew what to expect or how they were going to do it. Because when you mm-hmm. hype it up as a race, you think, well,
right.
how is that going to happen? So no one really knew. And I think overall, people were sort of disappointed.
Yeah.
But
and does Shark
you know,
NATO, does that?
I
do
love
share
that.
Shark
I'm sorry.
NATO likes it, but sharks are angry, aren't they? They don't
well,
want
if you
be
put them in a tornado,
way.
They certainly
yeah,
are.
They don't like being so, in tornadoes.
No, I don't think so.
Why is it that we have this obsession with sharks?
I really think most of it can be traced back to Jaws, honestly.
Yeah, that is it.
That really gets people, and it sticks.
Mm-hmm. We were yeah. heading, the summer that Jaws came out, we did a family vacation, and we were heading to the East Coast. We were going to go to Cape Cod. Never
yeah.
have been there.
Yeah.
And we got in a car accident and had to turn around and come home because our car was totaled. And I almost felt relief there because I didn't have to swim in the waters where the shark could eat me.
Right. Fair mm-hmm. enough. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a common thought, though. I mean, murky water and sharks
yes.
to people kind of go hand in hand. And,
even in swimming pools, I think about
it. I know. It just gets you. It's one of those like visceral reactions that since you're a kid, if you've seen Jaws, that's it.
Makes you nervous.
But, yeah.
Are they really? They're always described sharks as eating machines.
Yeah.
Is that true? That's all they do is
well,
they
just
eat. Well,
they do eat quite a bit. But yeah. humans aren't really on their menu.
They don't
so.
Want to eat people.
No, they really don't.
But now, whenever it's almost Shark Week,
yeah.
you always see stories.
Yeah.
It's weird timing, but that somebody's been gnawed
for
on.
Sure. It does just tend to happen that way. It's a really uncommon occurrence, actually. So
yeah.
in a year, between 5 and 6 people are usually killed by a shark attack.
That's it?
That's it. So, I mean, coconuts, cows, vending machines, selfies
yeah.
all kill far more people
they
annually
do.
Than
coconuts?
Sharks. Coconuts. 150 people a year are killed by coconuts.
But if Jaws
falling
was a movie
coconuts?
About coconuts.
Falling coconuts. So on your tropical vacation, they're far more dangerous than sharks. Stay away from those trees.
Oh my God.
But there's no impending music when a coconut
right.
hits
That's
you.
That's what we need to do. We need to make a scary movie
right.
with coconuts and then suddenly...
The Pina Colada song.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's what it
Rupert
should
Holmes?
Be.
I would love that. Doom. I would love that. They never sleep, right? Sharks, we hear that they never sleep.
Right.
That's why they're cranky.
Yeah.
That could
they
do it. Maybe hangry, too.
Yeah.
Well, how can you survive? How does your metabolism work there where you just never...
Well,
it
they're kind
impossible.
Of discovering this. I mean, the thing with sharks is they travel such huge distances that unless you have them tagged, you have no clue where they go for the majority of their lives.
Right.
So shark research like that is so important because
yeah.
then we can learn where they go, what they do, how long they stay, what
yeah.
happens while they're there. And they've kind of started learning, and at least they premiered some of this on Shark Week last year, was that they go down to really, really deep depths
yeah.
where it's very cold and the water has kind of a constant flow to it because they need water moving over their gills constantly to stay breathing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they can't just sit on the bottom other
no.
than a few species like nurse sharks and things, but in general they have to keep moving. So they just go to these places and kind of go into a trance and just like meditate almost
oh.
instead of actually sleep. So that's how they get rest.
Oh.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's neat. Most marine animals have really odd ways of sleeping, like
it's
dolphins
like a yoga
and
class
yeah, and dolphins and other marine mammals can actually shut off half their brain, so half their brain will sleep.
I do that
time.
During the show usually.
I mean, they're gonna say it's not necessarily uncommon, but
how many varieties of sharks are there?
There are almost 500.
Wow.
See, and we just honestly think of
great white.
That's it. Yeah. And the nurse shark, because we've heard that.
Right.
Does
right.
the hammerhead fall into a shark category?
Oh, yeah. They're really
What's
cool.
up with that guy? He's
well,
so unattractive.
They've recently discovered a new species of hammerhead, which is cool. It's kind of exciting.
What's new about it? How is it different from what they've
So
had
there
in
are
the
like
past?
The big ones that you usually think about, great hammerheads and scalloped hammerheads, which can be between 15 and 20 feet long, the big guys.
Yeah.
But then there are much smaller species like bonnet heads. They look the same, but they don't get maybe 4 or 5 feet, so they're actually kind of cute. And there's a population of them that they discovered is actually two distinct species. They look the same, but genetically they're really different.
Really?
So, yeah, so as far as conservation efforts go, it's important to know that sort of stuff because you manage the population differently then because
you don't want
them
meeting
know
each
beforehand.
Other. Right? Do they do that? Do they ever attack each
often,
other?
No? Not often.
They look like cartoons, don't they?
Hammerheads really do.
It's like you just, it's like, yeah, I know your eyes are on each side of your hammer, but they look
they're
very
pretty,
cartoon-like.
They're very strange looking, and some of the deep water species are really strange.
Just now, the reason stuff. That obviously, now this is just my opinion, I'm not a marine biologist.
Wait,
like
you're
Alex
not
Rose
a marine
is,
biologist?
No.
Not everyone on this show was.
All right, their eyes, obviously they have great peripheral vision because
right.
their eyes are on the side
they
of
sure
their
do.
Head. So yep. do they hang with fish that have better vision front ways?
Not really. They just have kind of a completely different way of viewing the world. Most when you see hammerheads, generally they're in large groups. So hammerheads do school, which is not necessarily a common behavior for sharks in general. It's a pretty amazing thing to see, though. You'll see it in Galapagos and Cocos, two island areas,
yeah.
and they just get hundreds, sometimes thousands of schooling hammerheads, which is a crazy thing to
see.
Do
some of them homeschool?
I don't know. We'll have to talk to them about that. See, this is why research is so important.
Yes,
how could we
is.
Know?
You can't know too much. It's
Alex
impossible.
Will never come back,
no,
you know.
First, one time out. Yeah.
All right.
Can I ask a quick question? Because
yeah.
I'm curious. Are they, sharks,
yeah.
the most ferocious animal in the water? Or is there something that even sharks go, I'm not messing with this?
Honestly, orca are probably
the
scariest
whales?
Thing. Oh, they can take out great whites, no problem.
Can they really?
Yep, absolutely. There is nothing
I'm surprised,
that an orca can't take down.
I think a shark could outmaneuver it. But
they might be able to, but orcas are pack hunters.
Yeah.
So when you're talking 5-6 of them versus a great white.
They rule.
Nope.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What's something we don't know about sharks?
They're portrayed very improperly all the time. Everyone thinks they're vicious, and honestly,
and
they're really not. I mean, they need to eat. They are apex predators.
Have you been in the water with one?
A lot of sharks.
Have you really?
Yeah,
and you're not afraid at all?
Not really. No. The only shark that I've been intimidated by is a mako. Mako sharks are the fastest sharks on the planet, and they've just got a very mechanical way of moving, so they're really quick and very hard to follow. So, they're a little bit intimidating. But overall, no, sharks are not. People scare me a lot more than sharks.
Mm. I don't blame you.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, that's 100% accurate.
So, and I think back to Jaws and, a kid on the raft and we get the shark's eye view.
Yeah.
They're not going, oh, there's a person. I'm going to go eat that person.
No.
They're seeing movement and feeling the vibrations and thinking, oh, there's food.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a silhouette thing is the biggest issue, especially when you think about great whites. They're typically surface hunters. So they eat seals, sea lions, things like that, which are all in the surf zone. And if you look at a surfer on a board from underneath, maybe from 200 feet below, it's exactly the same as a seal. And if you're a shark coming up from 300 feet to nab something out of the water, you're not going to be able to tell that that's not a seal.
So what can you do to make yourself so the shark is aware of the fact that you're not a seal?
Well, there are a couple things. Be a scuba diver instead of a surfer.
Yeah, all right.
You're much
That's
safer.
Easy.
You'd think not, though.
You wouldn't think so, but
it's
because
not
they
on the
hunt
surface.
Yeah, That's if you're in midwater, they make eye contact with you, and it's not a thing.
Has the singer seal ever been attacked by a shark?
I don't know. You'll have to ask.
Right. I'll find out.
Yeah,
are
get
you
back
pleased
to me on
with
that.
Yourself?
I'm kind of happy with what I just did, yeah.
Well, at least someone is.
All right, so what if, you see, and you're right, it does seem to coincide with Shark Week, where all of a sudden now on the internet you will see, this giant pack of, what is it? It's not a school. What is it, a group of sharks?
Yeah, you can call it a school, yeah. But they're usually not in schools. It's not a common behavior for sharks.
So it's like a lone shark.
Yeah, most of them are. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times it seems to coincide with Shark Week because it's summer. So it's warm water, and so they come closer to shore, and everyone's in the water. You know, it's like this combination of way more people using the ocean and sharks coming closer to shore. If it's really warm, you get these plankton blooms, so the water's murky, so you don't see them. It's just a higher possibility that you'll come in contact with one. So I think it's just a conditional thing.
Still scared of them. I like to watch them. I mean, it's just so freaky when their eyes roll back into their head.
Yeah, that's a protective thing so they don't get whacked by their prey.
Oh. Oh,
yeah, because the lid kind of closes.
Yeah, yeah. It's called a nictitating membrane, and it covers up their eye so they don't get scratched by seals or
You make it sound so cool and scientific other than
they are
freaky.
So cool.
Did you see this movie about the woman who went down in the shark tank?
No, I won't.
You don't want to see it? How come? Why?
It's like another version of Jaws that just does not help our perception of sharks.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's bad for business.
It really is. I mean, it's good for the movies.
Yeah,
but, you know, for someone who cares about sharks, it's not really what you want to see.
That's fair.
Do you want to punch or what are you supposed to do if you're on a raft and a shark comes up? You're supposed to punch it in the nose?
Their faces are really sensitive. They've got all these tiny little pockets all over their face called the ampullae of Lorenzini, and they can sense all different types of electrical currents. So they're very sensitive on their faces.
But Wendy and I were saying that if you did, you were in that situation and you did, it might irritate the shark more to be punched in the face.
It could, but honestly would probably just be surprised.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, because they're not really expecting that sort of thing.
Really? Because that's all they tell you to do. That's all we know as people if you see a shark punch it
in the face.
Most likely it won't come that close to you, but in the event that it does, that could help, I suppose.
How many sharks are out there all over the place right now?
We have no idea, honestly. Less and less all the time, though. We kill about 100 million sharks a year.
For what reason?
Primarily fins. They're fins.
Yeah. What do they do with them?
Yeah, they go into shark fin soup.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a traditional thing in a lot of parts of Asia. And luckily, the demand is dropping just because there are so many well-known celebrities now from there that are kind of coming out against it. Because it used to be something that you would do at a wedding to kind of show your status. Like, you know, I can afford shark fin soup for all of my guests because it's really expensive, but it's not good.
No.
It's basically just a status. Lump of cartilage.
Are all sharks in saltwater or are some in freshwater?
Some can migrate through freshwater, but they don't live in freshwater.
Oh.
And mostly brackish, you know, like bull sharks and things like that, because they come close to the coasts.
Yeah.
So they can kind of swim through a brackish area, but they don't live in freshwater.
Let's take a quick break.
Sure.
It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Alex from the Shedd Aquarium. One of us is a marine biologist. Can you figure out which one of the three of us is? It's a game we're playing. We're at 312-981-7200. It's WGN.
It's Bill, it's Wendy, and we're talking to Chicagoan Alex Rose. She's a marine biologist, an employee of the Shedd Aquarium, and we're talking about Shark Week. Alex, I got to tell you, I have a real good friend of mine who posted something on Facebook, which everyone was posting, that here's the headline, 3,000-pound great white shark captured in the Great Lakes. It was found, the dateline is Waukegan, a huge 3,000-pound great white shark was found in Lake Michigan yesterday. Could explain the disappearance of missing people in the last decade. Confirm the U.S. Coast Guard. This isn't true.
True or fake?
No, it is not.
Fake?
That is not true. No, you would not be seeing great whites up here. Sharks in general, you're not going to find in any sort of freshwater, especially not this kind of freshwater.
Really?
You might see them, you know, like very far down the Mississippi for a little while because it's brackish, which is, you know, partially salt, partially fresh.
Yeah.
But you would never see a shark in the Great Lakes.
Right.
No, especially not a great white.
All right. And
so
Rich
don't worry.
Has a question. Hi, Rich. How are you?
Hi, good morning, you guys. For a question for your guest, I've always been obsessed with sharks, and even before Jaws. And when Jaws happened, you know, it became a mania.
Yeah.
But from what I remember, even as a little kid, is that sharks and great whites, specifically, they were like just brainless eating machines that just. You know, they didn't really think about anything except what was the next food in front of their face.
Right.
But with what has been going on in the last 20, 30 years, because as a little kid, I remember also that great whites were incredibly rare.
Yeah.
It was, like, really rare to even see one.
Right.
And that's kind of not true, it seems, or I guess because of protection they've back. But with all the technology now and videotaping and filming and studying of great whites seems to me to be as perfect of a specimen as they are. They can't be that stupid, and it seems to me they seem pretty smart, actually.
Are sharks
definitely right there. Yeah. I mean, sharks, when you think about it, well, intelligence in general is very subjective. Like, humans are the best at what we do, and eagles are the best at what they do and great whites are the best at what they do.
Yeah.
So, you know, intelligence is definitely measured by the environments that we live in. And great whites really do an amazing job surviving in really tough conditions. They have a massive migration route. And just for an animal to be able to find its way from year to year from the places that it goes is unbelievable. I mean, you'll see them in Australia and then you'll see them in Guadalupe, which is about a day's trip off of San Diego. You'll see them off the coast of LA. I mean, to be able to go back and forth and regularly find your way back, I mean, that's an incredible
Ubers.
Skill right
there.
Yeah, Uber.
Ubers.
It's a shark Uber, of yep. course.
That's pretty amazing.
So, yeah.
Rich, and thank you very much for
you
your
are right.
call.
Sharks are smart.
All right. They're smart. And we found out that sharks, there's no way to count them because they have been disappearing a lot of times because of shark fin soup, which I got to be honest with you, I never heard of.
Yeah,
so tell us about Blue Ring and the conservation efforts
sure.
that you're behind.
Yeah. So obviously, I'm a bit of an ocean nut.
Mm-hmm.
And I do work for an ocean conservation magazine called Ocean Geographic. And for the last few years, I've kind of been trying to figure out what I can do personally to make a difference. And I mean, there's tons of little stuff that we could do, and so much of it has to do with plastic pollution. But personally, I wanted to find something. So I came up with this really fun idea to make ocean conservation cool and accessible to everyone, and it's called Blue Ring. So what you get to do is pledge your commitment to the ocean by buying a $25 a year membership, and you get a ring. And you get to marry the ocean.
Oh.
And it's spelled M-E-R-Y, like mare, the sea. Oh, I know, I was trying to be clever. And so you can either get a pendant or a ring. And so it basically is a way to show off your ocean commitment. And every year I'll fund different ocean conservation projects. And the goal for the first year is to get 200,000 members. We're going to raise $5 million and build submarines. And unlike most subs, instead of going out there and looking for places to drill and things to mine, they'll be exclusively for research purposes.
That's excellent.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it.
What do you make of what James Cameron keeps doing? Is he keeps making these real high-tech subs that go deeper and deeper and deeper into the ocean to find critters that we've never even imagined before.
Right, critters?
That's a great thing. Yeah,
they're
that's
amazing.
What we call them, critters.
Absolutely. His, I think it was Challenger Deep was that
yeah,
last
that's the last one.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing stuff. And just it shows you how important private sector funding is in so much of this stuff, because to get a group behind something like that versus a single person that says, well, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So we definitely need that. It's amazing to have that, but it's also just as important to have something that everyone can be part of, which is why this is so important.
Program you just mentioned, there's a website people can
there
visit.
There is. Yeah. It's blueRing.blue.
Okay.
So check it out. And it's only $25 a year and we're going to build subs and it's going to be exciting.
All right. I think that would be great for a classroom to get behind.
It would.
You know?
Yes. Definitely.
So, you know, Mr. Left's science class.
That's
and
right.
then Mr. Left could wear the blue ring, or you could
I
just display
it
in the classroom.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get some groups together and maybe organize some beach cleanups around here where everybody gets a membership when they come do the cleanup.
That's excellent.
Yeah, it'll be fun just to get everybody involved.
It's blueRing.blue.
Correct.
And also keep in mind shedaquarium.org before
Always
you came up.
Shed.
Yes, before you came up, I said I had been there as a kid.
Yeah.
I had been there, you know, with my family in school, and it's about time that I need to get back over
it's
there.
It's amazing.
All right, a question for my 14-year-old son.
Yes.
We go fishing every once in a while, and he tells me it's been proven that fish do not feel pain when you're taking that hook out of their mouth. And I said, how do you know that?
Right. Well, it's not that they don't feel pain necessarily. I mean, they when you
they
look
have
at
nerve endings in their lips,
nerve
don't
endings,
they?
But there are a lot of different kinds of nerve endings. You know, like our brains don't feel pain. If you were able to touch your brain,
that's
you wouldn't
wild.
Feel pain. You'd feel it though. You know,
like a
so,
pressure. Or
right,
something.
It's more of a pressure receptor than a pain receptor. So I'm not going to say that it's comfortable for them. It's definitely not.
I can't imagine.
But their
it
lips
would be.
Are really tough.
What
I
about
mean,
lobsters in hot water? They always go, they don't feel that, but they feel
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they feel that.
It's hot water.
Wait, you don't
that.
Eat lobster, do you?
I'm vegetarian, actually, yeah.
You haven't lived.
I wasn't my whole life, only for 5 years.
Lately.
I'm not going to tell you they're not delicious.
Yeah, they're good.
But there are definitely better ways than throwing them in a pot alive.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's... You know.
What if they volunteer? What if the lobster goes, I've
they're
had a
not,
long
well, you know, if
too,
they sign a waiver,
then you're,
then you're
in,
I guess you're
right.
okay.
Good.
We have to take care of our oceans. We,
really
do.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Talk about the plastic, though, just very
boy.
Briefly
yeah,
before we let
a
you
tough
go.
One. Yeah.
Like plastic bottles, the caps to bottles,
mm-hmm.
the rings from six packs.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things that can affect the
all
fish
marine life.
And the birds and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this goes from, you know, every level of an ocean ecosystem can be impacted. Yeah, like you said, the six-pack rings get stuck around animals' necks all the time. There's an island in the Pacific called Midway Atoll, and they're actually just released a documentary about it. The entire colony of birds, the albatrosses that live there, are currently going extinct because of the plastic pollution problem, because it's near a gyre, like a circulating ocean current where all the plastic is. So the mom birds go pick up all these pieces of plastic, feed it to the babies, and they can't digest that, obviously. Yeah. So they're just the island is littered with birds filled with plastic.
Terrible.
You know, and it's stuff that we can control, you know, when you're thinking about just drink straws.
Oh, my God, I saw that video on Facebook. There was a sea turtle that got a straw stuck in his nostril.
And it's so common. I mean, all that sort of stuff is so common. And it's just paying attention to what we use, you know.
And go to bluering.blue. And thank you so much, Alex Rose.
Thank you for having me. It's great.
Appreciate it. We'll find out what Steve has next. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN.